The reading today is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as the people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice, righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message of hope. And this morning we want to lift to you those in our church family who are struggling to find hope, Lord. For those that are sick and unwell, for those that are bereaved and missing loved ones, for those that are separated from their loved ones at this time, which becomes increasingly difficult over Christmas. Lord, we lift them to you. May they know your peace. May they know your hope. And Father, we lift Jeff to you now as he brings your word to us. May he reveal to us your love and your joy for this season. Amen.
David. Good morning, everyone. That always seems to happen to me. Thanks, Bridget. Thanks, Nina. It's Christmas. Calm down. Another 4 weeks yet. Or have we? The wonderful thing about being a Christian is we can have Christmas every day of the year, can't we? Christ is with us. His presence is with us. Do you know him? Do you know that? I can't wait for Christmas. I love it. But I'm going to have to wait. But we don't have to wait for Jesus. He's here. He's with us. He's risen. The book of Isaiah is before us this morning. A blazing light in the deepest darkness that the people of God had known for quite a while. The book of Isaiah. 66 different chapters. Isaiah is the first of the major prophets, considered by many to be perhaps the greatest of all the prophets. He's what they call the messianic prophet. In other words, he mentions the Messiah so many times in his book, in the Old Testament. Quoted in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament book. 50 times, in fact, in the New Testament we find passages from Isaiah. So rich is this book. So rich. Breathtaking experience that Isaiah had in chapter 6. We find that he meets with God in the temple and God calls him to a mission, calls him to a vision, calls him to become a prophet of God, to pronounce the good news to the people who walk in darkness. He mentions the virgin who will give birth to a son. in chapter 6, in chapter 7. He mentions the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, of which David just spoke. Isaiah is full of Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. It's Christmas. It was during a time of utter darkness, much of the world is going through at the moment. Deep areas of darkness and sadness and trouble and persecution. It was a time of great turbulence and tragedy, and there was division in the land. It was a divided country at that time. We had Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And Isaiah is called to speak to Judah and to warn them that if they don't watch their ways, if they don't come back to God, all could be lost. A time of tragedy, a time of darkness for the people of God. Crisis times we're going through, unprecedented at the moment. It's horrendous, isn't it? At the moment, one way or another. They walked in the darkness of Assyria, who was in the ascension at that time, aggressive nation that kept attacking across the borders, taking prisoners, enslaving people, and they attack fully. And they come in and bring their aggression. They lived under bad kings in many ways. Five kings in Isaiah's lifetime. Isaiah worked under five kings, and neither of them was much good, to be quite honest, as leaders. Darkness divided the nation, disobedience. And inspired by God, Isaiah stands up and gives them a warning that they didn't want to hear. He said, repent, repent, but they didn't want to hear. And he gives them a vision of hope. A vision of hope that they did need to hear. A light has come, he said. This Old Testament scripture, Isaiah, is the beginning of the story of how God won salvation for us. Christmas starts here. 800 years before the birth of Christ, Christmas starts here. If you ever think that God's taking his time over stuff, have faith. Have faith. For those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Have seen? Has come? Surely it should be, will come. Will see. No. Isaiah is so sure that God will intervene in their situation, in their darkness, will shine a light so strongly that all will be well in the end. So sure is he that he says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, not will be. He's here with us now. They're so sure of it. Although indeed, he wasn't actually. They walk by faith, not by sight. They know. He knows. And he confirms that in his preaching and teaching. If only we could have the same strength of faith in times of darkness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have faith. God has not deserted us. God is with us. God is with us. It's Christmas. He's here. He's come. He lived. He taught. He died. He rose again. Do you know him? Do you know him? He rose again. The light of the world shines down through the centuries, transforming lives, transforming situations. All is well, all is well. Have patience, have faith. God is good. God is so very good. When you want to shout out a name, I just wanted to shout, good, good, good God. He's a good God, because so often we think he isn't because of what we're going through, but God is with us. God will bring us through. Isaiah declares both the humanity, unto us a child is born, and the divinity of Christ, unto us a son, capital S, is given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He wasn't just human, he was divine. That's why we can rely on him, we can trust him, he will be with us. That child is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know him? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. The Messiah of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over David's kingdom. You see, it's David's covenant is being fulfilled. David's covenant that God made with David is being fulfilled in Christ. Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord, the excitement of the Lord, the will of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that. He will accomplish this. Did you read that? Did you see that? Did you hear that? Are you hearing this? The will of the Lord will accomplish it. Have faith. Have faith. Walk closely with your God. He is with us. And this prophecy will reach its conclusion in the second coming. All will be well in the end. So just 2 points for us to ponder. 2 separate words, simple, wonderful, and counselor. Just 2 points, wonderful. 2 separate words that together spell hope. Wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Do you know him? Jesus is so wonderful. The Hebrew word used here for wonderful means beyond understanding. It is so great, almost beyond understanding. It's as if Isaiah can't quite say enough about how he feels about this God that's going to bring this child. Can't quite find the words to express how wonderful he feels about this. In John's gospel, at the very beginning, we find that there too, really. John can't quite find the right words. It's just pouring out of him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, actually. In the beginning, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things are made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of the man. He can't say enough, can he? That life was the light of mankind. The light which shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never, what? Say it with me. Overcome it. Do you believe this? Do you know him? I picked out another passage. It's almost the same as saying Paul couldn't find enough words to say about him. Listen to this one. And I pray, he said, that out of the glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all Lord's people, Lord's holy people. Got more? Thank you. To grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. You see, can't say more. He wants to say so much about what Jesus has meant to him. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you want to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? Absolutely. It's as if they can't say enough. Handel's Messiah, which we'll probably be hearing a lot of over the Christmas. What got into Handel to write that stuff? He was so uplifted, wasn't he? He must have been, to write that fantastic Handel's Messiah. I was thinking about Michelangelo and the Sistine Chapel. Don't give me more pictures, please. Don't give me more images. It's as if they can't say enough about this wonderful, wonderful man, the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you doing? How are you doing in your walk with him? Do you know him? Do you love him? Does he mean that much to you? Have you given your life to him? You can trust him. The Reverend Lockridge wrote this: the greatest phenomenon to ever cross the horizon of the world. I love that. That's on my fridge. And you should call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wonderful. So very wonderful. Almost too wonderful for words, although a trillion words have been written about him and many, many hymns and songs have been sung about him that say how awesome a person he is. Do you know him? Do you know him? He died to save you. Perhaps the most wonderful thing Jesus ever did was to die to save you, to die to save us. That's the most wonderful thing, is to see Jesus on the cross with his arms stretched wide, lifted up, glorified in death, so that you might live. Do you know him? The most wonderful thing is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, there's an opportunity today. You are obviously here because you're interested, perhaps, or you want to grow more. Or there's an opportunity today to receive him fully into your life, to give your life to him. The most wonderful experience of my life, when I became a Christian, I was 30 years old. It was the joy beyond measure. It turned me upside down, turned me round, put me on the right path, led me on. And it was the joy beyond measure. It was such a wonderful experience for me that's never, ever left me. Do you know him? He's real. He's not pretend. When Satan should buffet, if trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate. Help me out now, come. And has let his own blood for my soul. What comes next? Very good. And again. In my soul. In my soul. Louder, church, louder. And louder still. Oh, you're brilliant. Thank you. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. There's another hymn. Wonderful Counselor. Second point. If wonderful is that out of the world sort of characteristic of Christ, if you like, then Counselor is the down-to-earth one. Wonderful, out of this world, you can't quite say enough to explain it, to express it. Counselor is about Christ's down-to-earthness. Someone who befriends us. Someone who walks alongside us. Someone who listens to us, who will comfort us, who supports us. Many of you may well have had counselors in the past. Someone to trust, someone you can talk to without fear of it going anywhere else. And you've walked with that and it's really helped. Jesus is that person, extraordinaire. He is the wonderful counselor. The Hebrew word for counselor means one who advises with authority and with the ability to actually do something about it. Has the strength, has the power. Someone who has the wisdom to know what your problem is from the inside and the power to enact the solution. Jesus can do it. Jesus can really do it. If you have a real problem, speak to Jesus. He will do it. He will help you. You will do it together. But he will be with you. He will be the guide. He will be the light. There's a wonderful passage in John's Gospel. It's one of my favorite stories, where Jesus is in Samaria. It's chapter 4. I won't... This is just the end of the story. It's quite a long story. But he meets a woman at a well in the middle of Samaria. It's in the middle of the day. It's very hot. And she's come to get water from the well. And it's a funny time to come midday because it's so hot. And she comes alone, which you wouldn't normally do. You'd come with other village women, people to go and get water. She's there on her own in the middle of the day. And Jesus is there too. And he meets with her. And they start talking, and Jesus really counsels her. It's a great example of the wonderful counselor that Jesus is. He starts to talk to her, and he starts to encourage her to open up to him, to tell him. And he does it like by asking questions, doesn't he? You know that story well, I'm sure. He asks her questions. Where's your husband? Well, actually, you know, I've had five husbands. She starts to unburden herself. She starts to talk to him. And by the end of the story, she's quite convinced, or she wonders whether this is perhaps the Messiah, because he seems to have such insight. He seems to have so much depth to his understanding. He has such a good way of bringing me out. And so thrilled is she by this that she goes back to her village. But what she does, and I think it's one of the most wonderful lines in Scripture, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said, come, I think I've met a man who knows everything about me, everything I did. Could this possibly be the Messiah? Leaving her water jar, she went back, leaving the burden that she'd come with, leaving the burden, the weight on her shoulders that she'd come with. She left it there with him and went away rejoicing. It's a great story when it comes to counseling. He's the perfect counselor. No matter how bleak our situation, and sometimes it's bleak beyond measure, I know, Jesus will answer when you knock on his counseling door. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He will answer. You have to ask him. You do have to ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. You do need to seek. We do need to do something about it. We can't just sit there and expect us to Jesus to drop into our lap without us actually doing anything. We do need to ask. We do need to seek. We do need to knock in order that it might be given, that we might find it, that the door might be open. You will need to be honest with him. That's not always easy to do, is it, to be honest with someone? But you can be honest with him. You can be honest. He's not going to tell anybody else about it. You can trust him. You will need to receive it. Now, I say that because we don't always good at receiving things. We're good at giving things, but we're not always good at receiving it for ourselves. You will need to receive what it is he says, and you will need to do what he says you should do, whatever that might be. We do need to do things as well. Need to receive. Need to do what he says. I want to encourage you this morning that if you have any kind of burden that you come after I've spoken and while we're singing, and lay that burden down that you might go away in freedom, free from that worry and concern, or knowing what to do about it. Maybe this Advent time we need to accept with the empty hands of faith the overwhelming grace of God, our Heavenly Father, our wonderful Counselor. Stop trying to save ourselves and let God do it. Stop trying to save yourself by being good. By doing the right things, by saying the wrong things, not saying the wrong things. Stop trying to save ourselves and let God do it for us. But you say, well, I'm not sure. I've been there before. I've done this several times. Will he listen to me yet again? My repentance never lasts. My sins never seem to end. My wandering heart never ceases to rest. You say things like that? Well, just come anyway. Still come. For Jesus does not judge us in that way, does not condemn us in that way. He wants us to find the peace we need in him. Just come anyway. If you have any burden on your heart, whatever that might be, just come. And then Christmas. Christmas is here. Christmas is with us. As you give yourself to him, he will give himself to you, and you will know the joy of Christmas, even though there's another 4 weeks to wait for the celebration. I'm going to pray. I'm going to bring the band back up, and then I'm going to invite you to just in the quietness, as the flute is playing, before we sing anything, just to stand in that quietness and give that burden to God. Give those things to him. He's quite capable of dealing with anything you might bring this morning. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. We ask you to receive, Lord, the burdens of our hearts, the things that are weighing us down. Shine your light, we pray, in our darkness, and give us your peace. Amen.